So according to the report, many patients were being transferred to hospital for illnesses that could have been treated more early, with a more early diagnosis and consistent care. Is this lack of resources problem here, or a lack of education and awareness?
Well, I think it's both. That people that are living in regional and rural areas would be familiar with the shortage, medical and nursing workforce shortages that exist. And this is particularly for areas where you require specialty training, such as geriatrics. It's disappointing that we don't have more people working in regional areas, particularly given the evidence that says older people are much better if they have the care that they need in familiar surroundings and are able to continue living their life where they were, where they've been living previously.
Absolutely. And I'm actually from a rural area, and I can absolutely back that. It is really sad that there isn't more access and more people working in the medical field. Now, the Royal Flying Doctor Service report highlights a lack of access to health services for aging patients in remote areas. What are the potential solutions we can expect, if any?
Well, I think that telehealth is obviously one approach where you're able to dial in, I guess, with additional specialist support. I think what would be better long term is to try and develop partnerships where medical specialists are willing to visit more often and have them located in metropolitan centres, so that the doctors don't need to move out to the regions but are still able to provide a service. The solution about getting doctors to work regionally has been present ever since I was an intern back in the 80s and still hasn't been solved. And I think the other approach is to consider training people that aren't medical to provide the type of care that's needed for older people. And nurse practitioners in particular are a good resource and have the skill to manage the majority of issues that might present. And if they are in touch with a medical specialist such as a geriatrician or a psychogeriatrician, that may help fill the gap.
The leading Age Services Australia lobbied against aged care facilities to require air conditioning, and the new government regulations now do not stipulate anything about internal temperatures of the facilities. In remote and regional areas, this is particularly notable, as there have been record-breaking temperatures recorded around Australia, especially in the last couple of years. Are the new regulations that the government have outlined enough?
I'm not familiar with them, but it's incredibly disappointing that there isn't something around the ambient temperature required for people's accommodation. And residential care isn't like a hotel where you can leave if you're unhappy. You also need to invest substantially to go into a home. And so I think it'd be fair and reasonable for older people to expect that the living conditions that are being provided are fit for people. And I would have thought that the need to maintain a temperature that is consistent with health is very important. We know people get very sick, get hospitalised and die from extreme temperatures. And so I would have thought that that needed to be addressed.
Well, it sounds like it does need to be addressed. It just hasn't been, which is very unfortunate. Looking toward the future, what can we expect to happen with our rapidly ageing population? Is it the crisis that it's claimed to be?
The first point is that the rapidly ageing population is a sign of success of society. So the first thing we should do is, in a sense, pat ourselves on the back that science and society has got its act together well enough that people can live to an old age. I don't see it as a crisis. It's an opportunity to rethink how we do things. It's the first time the country's confronted having a lot of older people, and what we haven't done is be inventive or thoughtful or lateral in our thinking about what can we do with people with a lot of experience. There will be people that need care, but that's always been the case at the moment, only 1 in 20 older people require assistance with their daily living. So most older people are fit and well. And I think what happens is that to get attention, to deal with issues, we tend to make really bold and graphic and fearful statements, because sadly in this day and age, being reasonable doesn't seem to get action.
How do you think our legislative funding and societal assistances for the aging compare to other countries?
Well, we've so in terms of funding, we're about in the middle of most rich countries. So we don't have the lowest amount, nor do we have the highest amount. The structure, one of the points you make is, what is the structure, or how is that money spent, varies differently between countries. And there are more novel arrangements in, let's say, Scandinavia or the Netherlands about providing care more consistent with how a person lives their life in the community. In terms of legislation, America probably has much stronger regulation and requirements for reporting on performance. And so in the States, the homes have to report the episodes of resident aggression or violence, and they have to report pressure injuries. This is not the case in Australia, and the public doesn't have access to that information. In the States, they do. So I think there's still a bit to learn from overseas. But fundamentally, we need to craft our own aged care system which meets the needs of our unique population.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Joseph.
It's a pleasure.